we said a lot of it to a newspaper reporter out from the Lewiston Morning Tribune back in April, and he wrote quite a nice article. Are there any of you who didn't take a copy of this from the table out front?
I'll pass them out.
Okay, there you go. So just keep your hand up, and Sam will distribute those, as many as I have left there. Well, quite a few were taken from the table, so there must be some others in people's backpacks and pockets and so on.
I'm sorry we're a little rushed for time. I didn't get a chance to introduce Michael, but he is archivist at the Lionel Hampton Center at the University of Idaho. Have we ever had an Idaho speaker here? I don't think so. So thank you for making this trip here. Looking forward to it. We're just PowerPointing up, and maybe I can play with the lights while we do that. We sort of had a nice, if you all are reading, you probably don't want to turn that off.
Well, you just, you can turn this down a little bit here. Don't turn it down too much, because it's late in the day and people will just nod off here. But we're gonna play some Lee Morris, and that generally makes people sit up in their seats. Some of the what I've read about Lee Morris is that, in fact, she is an acquired taste, and that, you know, like they say, there's two kinds of people in the world, those who divide people into two kinds and those who don't. But there's two kinds of people in the world, those who love Lee Morris and those who hate her. And we are going to play some Lee Morris singing and not very good recording, and some early music video of music film of Lee Morris. So we have, I think, a total of four songs on here. So if you are in that percentage of the population that hates Lee Morris, now is your time to make your escape.
We're waiting on Bill Gates now.
Bill. He has caused me more problems. I hate that blue screen of death business. I have here a PowerPoint presentation that's a little souped up from some other things we've heard, because my music and the video is incorporated right in it. There are some flaws in that. I have not...
One flaw is you'll probably have to put the microphone down at the computer, because this is not hooked up to the audio system.
Uh-oh.
That's what we did earlier.
Oh, wait a minute. Is it going to run on this computer? Okay, well, if it... We'll see.
It'll run... I hope.
The sound?
Well, yeah, but it's acoustic, more or less.
Well, the recordings were acoustic, so, you know.
Yeah.
Well, my recording's acoustic also.
I do have some of this on videotape if we are embarrassed by this.
What was going on before was we were just sort of putting this down here. Okay, we're almost there, I hope.
From the looks of that, it should curve over, but it does not. So it's not hooked up to the sound.
No. We're just waiting for this to boot up, because this is...
Oh, I'll boot it.
That's all.
Oh, I'll do the boot thing.
And we are there. As soon as I close the windows...
Are there folks out there who have not heard Lee Morris before?
Not heard
there are a few. She was a big thing in their time in the 20s and into the early 30s. One of the, she did roughly 78 a month for the period of 1924 to 1933. And was Pathé Perfect's biggest seller next to Cliff Edwards, right, the ukulele Ike. And she also played the ukulele. She's also a big seller for Columbia, one of the top female vocalists for in her Columbia recordings.
Okay.
I just click on this and we're ready to go.
Yeah, you can probably just, or use the arrow here or the space bar.
Use the arrow or the space bar. Well, we hope that the sound is on here. That's not right. There should be sound.
Lower right, there's a foot air sure.
You have to click on the
speaker.
Yes.
Yeah, that's it.
No.
Maybe your speaker is up.
No, I turned it up. Okay, hold on.
Go back.
Let me try it one more time.
I want to go back to the first one.
Double click
on that thing. What could be the problem? Anybody have any idea?
It could well be that this is,
is there a
No, it's not on. It could easily be that this is Windows 97. I mean,
you have Windows,
something like that.
Yes, because this was done in
2000. Yeah.
I have a Mac laptop.
That won't work. It's a all
right. No,
power.
Well, the sound's in the PowerPoint show. Is that you? So I'm going to turn this off?
That's not that. That has other music. We'll break some glass here. She yodels a little bit here.
I don't know why it came up. Should we try it again?
Yeah. Try it again. Sure. Hit the sound button. Usually, this is all timed and should work by itself without the.
Okay.
Now, what did you do before to make it run?
I closed it.
Oh, yeah. I see.
But wasn't that the videotape with you?
No, it wasn't.
Let's see what happens.
Okay. No, there should be music here. No, not doing it. How do we?
I think you're going to have to do it with the videotape.
Okay. Well, we'll go back to the videotape.
Yeah.
One will not get to hear the new song, which we labored so hard to have transferred.
Michael, he's been sitting there all the time. Book of many pages, you would find this phrase day after day, year after year. Always, my dear, I'll adore you when you're away. Why you are.
All right, now we'll have some music.
Now I could use this presentation back here.
Do it again?
Yeah.
All right, let me bring it up.
That's it? Now, I just do this. We've all seen this already, and this, I just wanted to give credit to some of the folks who helped out. His yeoman work in my service is not going to really be represented here since we can't hear the sound, but my student help, David Morse, helped out with this presentation. He is Lee Morse's great-grandson. He was working with me there at the International Jazz Collections and mentioned that his great-grandmother sang in the 20s and 30s, and by and by, the family donated the collection that they had to us. It consists of about 37 78s and 80 photographs or graphic pieces. Lee Morse was born in 1897 in Portland, and a few years later moved to Kuski, Idaho, about 75 miles from Moscow in northern Idaho, and down on the Clearwater River, as you can read in the newspaper account. She had a career in vaudeville, and she before that she was singing with her father and brothers, the Singing Taylor family. And about after 1919, she was on her own in vaudeville and then to Broadway. She was a recording artist from 1924 with Pathé Perfect and then on Columbia. Some of her backup men in working in New York in the 1920s were Benny Goodman and Tommy and Jimmy Dorsey. She called her group, often with the Goodman and the Dorseys, the Bluegrass Boys, Miss Lee Morse and the Bluegrass Boys. This is a shot. When she died in 1954, part of her things went to her estranged son, Jack, and part of them went to a newspaper man. They were given to the newspaper man by her husband then. And then the husband died, and the things didn't come back to him. And then the newsman died about 1970, and he had sent the things off before that to a collector and a fellow who does who owned Take-Two, the Take-Two label, Jim Bedoian in California. So he has a scrapbook, Lee Morse's scrapbook, up to 1925, and the Morse family itself had a lot of other photographs and the recordings, including a test pressing, which you will see the words to, but we will not hear the music to, unless we have a CD player that we can. Oh, cool, because I have that. And here was a lovely song, also from A Million Me's. It the label on it, and this is right on the film itself, UM and MTV, although it is a Vitaphone short.
That's a Paramount short.
She, you'll notice here, this is an early publicity poster, and this is from the Jim Bedoian collection, stuff that came to him that, as I said, through various channels. And here she's billed as Mrs. Elmer Morse and my wife's husband, which makes me think that Elmer was singing too. But I don't know. I don't know about that. And I'll have to do some research there in Idaho to find out. Here she is with some of her many brothers. She had 10 or 12 brothers. The fellow at the upper, on the far right, which is ironic, her Senator Glenn Taylor, who in 1948 ran with Henry Wallace on the Progressive Party ticket. And let me tell you, had Henry Wallace won the presidency in 1948, it would be a different country. I am in no danger of losing any position because of that. Here she is. She and Elmer had a baby in 1916. Shortly after that, Lee left Elmer and was on her own. As she was on her own, she went off into shows and so on and so forth. She hired a black woman to take care of Jack and later sent him off to boarding school, which was the source of their estrangement. But of course, you know, she was a single mother in show business, and that must have been quite an oddity at the time. Here she is, with, as it says there in the Pantages, 1921, 1922. She's with this show, this traveling show, Hitchiku, for several years with Raymond Hitchcock. You see her up there in the right. All again, you see the little, and this is the credit down here from Jim Bedoyan. You're about to see a photograph of the Hickey brothers from the left-hand corner up there. That's in our part of the collection. She had many photographs signed to her by her her co-stars and contemporaries in vaudeville and Broadway and so on. Here they are. I suppose if I get a copy of the Encyclopedia of Vaudeville, they'll tell me all about the Hickeys and these other people whom we'll see, some of whom you will know. Publicity still in her collection with us. And I have the, let me see, can I stop this here? Well, I don't know if I can stop this and start it again. That wasn't the plan. What's that? Yes. Okay, all right. This is really not the title of it. I understand this is Mailman Blues. As I said, when as Jack got older, he was off to boarding school, some sort of school outfit he has on there, and he was bitter about this all his life. He never really talked much about it to his son, it's sort of a mommy dearest thing. After they parted when he was of age, he seldom visited with her. She wrote a song for him, one of the first she recorded with Pathé, Lee's Lullaby, 1924. In about 1924, 1925, she met and married Bob Downey. He was a cousin of Morton Downey, the singer-entertainer, not related to the Robert Downey Jr. folks, because that family has they adopted the name Downey. He played piano and accompanied her on many occasions, and then in vaudeville as well. And they had a club for a while in Texas. They moved back to Rochester, New York, in about 1939, and he left her for a younger woman. She's wearing the same dress. This is a Columbia insert, and she's wearing the same dress here. You see the little collar detail that she was wearing in that picture with Bob Downey. And here I have a few of the photographs from her vaudeville career. This again, maybe the Encyclopedia of Vaudeville will identify these people, or if anybody knows this group. What's that? Okay, there we are. Yes, I know that name. Here's one whom you might know. Rose Marie. She I just saw her on television the other night in some show. Another from our collection, very nice. There's about a dozen of these. She, although she was from Oregon and born in Oregon and raised in Idaho, she never identified herself as being from the Northwest. She claimed this Kentucky and Texas heritage, that song you just heard, the Mailman Blues, that really reflects that. The recording, which I do not happen to have a copy of the test pressing, reflects that as well. It's a blues, and I have the words here. And Jim Bedoian was of the impression that this is like something that she wrote, because she did write a lot of her own songs. But this. And I'm sorry that I don't have it. It's very redolent of Bessie Smith from that same era. And she drank like Bessie too, which is to say a lot. And it would do her in. It would cut short her career, because she had an opportunity to be in a Broadway show about 1931 or 1932, and when she got drunk the day before the performance, Ruth Etting stepped in and sang the song "Dime a Dance," and Ruth Etting made that her hit, and Lee Morris did not, and her career never really recovered from that, and she spent although she did a lot of work in the 1930s. It was not of the caliber that was expected from her, and that was largely due to the drinking. In this, she sings, "I don't want love that's secondhand. I'll play third fiddle, or there'll be no band." I think that was the mistake, because it should be first fiddle, which is not a term one really hears. Second fiddle, yes, but this was never released. We know from her discography in that book Moanin' Low that it was made in May or early June of 1925. These lyrics don't mean anything to anyone. Here she yodels considerably, and I'm not going to try that. I love this lyric here. "The grass needs rain and the tree needs leaves, but I need you like a vest needs sleeves." That is so good, and that is so Southern vernacular. This is that sort of exaggeration, like, you know, it's about unnecessary papa, but it's a kind of yo mama sort of thing. "Yo mama is so ugly, you know, you're so stupid." She was, she had a character, a sort of gutsy character, kind of a rural Mae West. Although in some of her songs, she did popular things without these sexual overtones. But this is certainly very, very bluesy. You know, you don't get satisfaction when I crave action. Razor blades, vests without sleeves, that kind of thing. And accompanied by some of the photos from our collection. She died in 1954. She was visiting a neighbor and fell over dead into the coffee and tea cakes. Her son did not even come to the funeral. He just sent some money for her burial. And these are some photographs from, I would say, post-World War II. Her husband, she remarried in 1946, and he got her some work there in Rochester and Syracuse and Buffalo. She did some radio shows at the time there, and I have to wonder whether or not any of those are recorded anywhere. Yeah, well, one would hope we could find them. And there would have been, this is the song that we saw earlier. What's that? She liked bangs. Yes, there was some complaint about that and some of the things written about her, that the bangs are in the way. And that is that. Okay, you're welcome.
The university wanted $575 a day for a computer here. So I brought mine, and mine doesn't have PowerPoint 2002. It has an older one. Thus
we
issue.
Were.
But we have a wonderful flavor of her. And it still clicks. But thank you very much.
Yes, you're welcome. Are there any questions quickly?
Steve has one.
Yes. I thought she's charming and funny. She had great stage presence. Maybe she,